Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I want to talk about our Lord today. And when Peter was talking to Cornelius, he was the first Gentile to ever hear the word, him and his family. Peter stood there and he started talking in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. And he's speaking to him and he says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through him, his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter spake this, they started speaking in tongues. You know, they had heard the gospel. They had heard it from other people. Nobody spoke it to the Gentiles, but they knew what was going on in town. They knew about Jesus. They knew about the miracles. They knew about a lot of things. They started to know about what these people believed. Well, Peter gives a summation here of the gospel that has to be believed. It's a summation. Just think of it as a summation of that gospel. And just that summation was enough for them to receive, believe, and receive the Spirit of the Lord and to manifest it. It's quite a thing. But I want to go back here to verse 36. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." You know, is Jesus Christ Lord? Well, say it. Jesus is my Lord. You know, he is Lord of all. That all is all. That's the first thing that had to come. Go to Romans 10, 9, and 10. That is the number one thing if you're going to get to preaching the gospel. That's the first thing to make known. Romans 10, 9, and 10 has another beautiful summation of the gospel. It's not the one verse you need to believe in order to get it. It's a summation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." First, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of all. Is he really your Lord? That's what you got to ask yourself all the time, many times a day, whenever there's a decision to make. You know, you think about it. When, you know, is he Lord right now? You know, in this decision that I have to make or this thing that I have to do. Because that's really what it comes down to. Because if he's your Lord, you do what he says, right? You live the way he told you to live. You think the way he tells you to think. That's what it means when you made him Lord. It's not just saying, okay, Jesus is my Lord, and then doing whatever the heck you want to do. That's not what it's about. It's not, you know, open sesame and the thing opens up, you know, like in Sinbad the Sailor. Or you rub the genie's lamp, you say the magic words. I mean, some people think about it or treat it that way. And you have to think a little bit more deeply about it. You know, that if a man shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a summation again. Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. And it's a matter of faith. This gospel was preached, and it started at Jerusalem, and it reached out, and it continues to reach out even this morning in this fellowship. It's the same gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God bless. Oh, excuse me, chapter 6. In verse 20, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and of yours. And it says here in verse 20, it says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've been paid for. You and I were the slaves of sin. We belong to the adversary. When you are born, you belong to the adversary. And you had to make a choice. You made a choice. You believed that what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you, what he accomplished, paid for your life. He ransomed you back. You know, I'm not bright enough to figure out all the different reasons. I know what the scriptural reasons tell me and what is shared with me in the Bible. But, you know, I mean, do I completely understand everything? No, I don't. It doesn't flow from me like it's, oh, of course, had to be. I know that it is because it was. I know that what the Word says is true, therefore I just simply believe it. Do I understand the reasons why these things were necessary? No, not necessarily. I know in a vague way why it was necessary. That's an honest thing for me. And I just as soon speak to you honestly. It's a vague thing. Do I understand every detail or every reason why or every little... Nah. I don't need to. See, I'm not one of those kind of guys. Never was. Just ask my wife. It is what it is. Okay? If it's done, it's done. We go to the doctor. I expect God to do his thing. You know, God does his thing. And I'm not surprised. Do I understand why everything's got to be the way it's got to be? No, I don't care. It's done. It's over. It's finished. Why is some days good, other days bad? I don't know. But I know this much. God's with me, and whatever it is, it is. Well, it's the same thing many times spiritually with the Word. But I know Jesus is my Lord. You know? And I know that I have to keep him that way. He paid for me. He died for me. It was his blood that covered me and covered my sins and washed them away. It wasn't my work or anything I did. I simply believed and accepted what he did for me. That's what God required of us. When he baptized us with the Holy Spirit, I am baptized with that Spirit. Why would he give it to me or to you or to any other human being? That is way past my comprehension. It's one of those five. All I know is he gave it, and we walk in it, and we accept the graciousness and the mercy. I mean, Cornelius, he heard these words, and those people spoke in tongues, and God inspired it, and they spoke in tongues. Peter didn't even know he was supposed to talk to these people. I mean, it wasn't Peter's believing that they would believe. He didn't have any. He was just telling them, well, this is what I've been doing. And this is what's been going on. It wasn't even, you need to believe this. He's just giving them, this is what's been happening. And in the middle of him telling them what's been happening, they were energized, baptized, and magnified the Lord by speaking in tongues and blew Peter and the other six Jews that were with him right out of their socks. So it's beautiful, but it starts with Jesus is Lord. When you and I hold forth this word of God to somebody, it's not, oh, God will take care of your bills. He'll take. No, Jesus is Lord. He paid for you. Look, Luke. Well, actually, go to Matthew. It's in Matthew 2. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. I gotta find it. In my new Bible, which I'm breaking in, nothing is where it's supposed to be on the page. But God is gracious. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. See, just saying the word doesn't cut it. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Yeah, well, if you do what I say, then that means something. You know, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done wonders, wonderful works? You know, just a little side note, just you have the Spirit of God. That Spirit is not just for you. That Spirit is for the people it serves, right? The prophecy wasn't just for you. It was for the church at large here. A miracle is it's a sign that says the gospel that's being spoken is true. It establishes the word. It's not just for you. Okay? But the point is here in this section, Jesus said there are people who are going to do, they'll prophesy, they'll do wonderful works, they'll do other things. And then the Lord will say to them, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity is someone who lives a lifestyle of sin. Not somebody who sins. Everybody sins. I mean, in this just chapter before this, we have the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. You got to ask for those because everybody sins. All right? But not everybody is sold out to live a lifestyle of sin. And you know the difference, right? You know, people who make a living robbing, stealing, drunks. You know, when you're sold out, you've lost control of your life. and you are a drunk. I mean, this it says at other places in the Bible, you know, lust. Right? It says it in Galatians. It gives you a whole list. All right? But my point is, you can manifest the Spirit and still have a lifestyle of sin. And Balaam, you remember him? He's one of the headliners. You know, he'd be up on the marquee of the famous prophets that was in iniquity and sold out God. And yet he still prophesied of the coming Messiah and things that were just incredible to hear. And yet he is held up as a standard of evil. How about Judas was an apostle, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He have the Spirit?
Yep.
Same as everybody else there in the fellowship. So just because you got a ministry or you can manifest, that ain't cutting it. You Lord, if he is Lord, you do what he says. You know them by their fruit, it says in Scripture. It says in 1 John, I forgot what it says, you got to go there. 1 John, the mind is a terrible thing. You can't always remember what you want to remember. 1 John, I believe it's in chapter 2 or 4. Well, that's a nice verse. I'm looking for the verse that says, you do my word. What is the, I got to have a little bit of a quote. Little children, be not deceived. He that doth the word is righteous. Well, it's in there someplace.
27, chapter 2.
27, 22. No.
28, and now little children abide in him.
It's too far. 18. Let's just read chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time. Yep. It's all good. Again, we'll just, well, let it go. I'll find it for you after fellowship. How's that? Again, after fellowship. You may have it, but after fellowship, I'll find it for you. I promise. It says that don't be deceived. Those that do the will of the Lord, they are his. They're the righteous ones, not the people who talk about it. You can say, Lord, Lord, all you want, but if you don't do what the Lord says, it's over, okay? So stop looking for it. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Danny, you're competing with me. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. So much for my memory. Verse 18. For as much as you know that they were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, from your vain behavior, and received the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. We were not redeemed with anything else except with His blood, what He did, what He accomplished. He's the only one that could save us. And we added nothing to it. We just simply accepted what He did. We accepted this. Go to Zechariah. Zechariah, this ought to be a challenge for some of you. It's just before Malachi. Just so I give you a little hint. Chapter 6. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. I always thought that when I first got in the Word, I thought that was the book of Malachi. But he wasn't Italian. Malachi. Zechariah. My son-in-law is named after this guy. Chapter 6, verse 13. This is a prophecy concerning the Messiah. It says, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." This is talking about the Messiah, the branch that is coming. He is the one who's going to build this house, the temple of the Lord. Nobody else. You know, in Israel, I think I read, when I did a fellowship a while ago, I was talking about Nehemiah. You know, there was a lot of people involved in the building of the temple. Not this one. Jesus is the only one who builds this temple. He is the only one who set the stones. He is the only one who paid for it. Him and Him alone. He gets the glory in the church, in this temple. Just read that verse again. It's beautiful. "Even he shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest." So he's going to sit on the throne, and he's going to be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Go to the book of Ephesians, please, chapter 1. Our Lord is the one who built the temple. He is the one that bears the glory. In chapter 1, verse 20, this is what God did in Christ. This is what God gave to Him. It says, "Which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places." This is what the Father did. The Father, because of what Christ has done, He raised Him. Because He obeyed and died. He raised Him, and He set Him at His right hand. He's far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet, and He gave Him to be head over all things to the church. He is the head. You know, in Corinthians, you have the illustration of the body. The hand doesn't say to the eye, "I have no need of you." Well, Christ is the head in this illustration. You know what? This head takes care of everything for this body. Right? Your toe doesn't decide nothing. Okay? The head keeps the toe out of trouble. The head does its best to keep the toe from slamming into things. It's when the head's not working too good, that's when the toe gets slammed in. And, you know, same thing for the eye. The eye doesn't do or say nothing. It doesn't give an opinion. It does what the head wants it to do. The head decides where the eye is going to look. It decides whether it's going to it decides everything. Decides when something's wrong, I need to go get it fixed. The eye doesn't say, warning, fix me. The head decides everything. The head provides everything. The head thinks everything. The head is that which runs the body. Jesus Christ is over all. He is the head, it says here. He's far above all powers, all dominions, all principalities, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also with that which is to come. Nothing else comes before him or ever will. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. He is the head of this body. This body is his. It's just his. And you know, when you think of the word church, the word church is the Greek word ekklesia. It simply means to called out, right? Called out. Any group that gets together for any purpose is a church. Okay? In the scriptures, in the book of Acts, you have a union meeting. It's called an ekklesia. It's called a church. It has nothing to do with God or Jesus or anything else. It's called a church. Any called, you go bowling with your friends, that is an ekklesia. Okay? That's what the word church means. I know that we use the word church for a building, for denominations, for we call our organization, Christian Outreach Fellowships, a church. It is, the people who choose to be here. That's it. That's the deep meaning of the word church. Now, the body of Christ, that's his. And I pray that Christian Outreach Fellowship is this little church that we have, is connected to the head. And every single soul in the church is listening to their Lord, who is the head. You never see me promote the organization. The only reason we got one of those is legal. I got to write checks and requirements. I mean, to be honest, that's the only reason you need one to function in the nation we live in. Paul didn't have one. I wouldn't have one. That's why I don't have a building either. I don't want one of those. It's just not necessary. It's just not necessary. Point Jesus, if he is Lord, and if you and I keep him Lord, then this part of the body functions. And he directs, and he inspires, and he guides, and he has got all the members in the body dealing with them. doing what he wants done. You know, it's God that works. He got God in Christ in you. And we stick together because the scripture says we need to encourage one another. We need to love one another. We need help. We need hope. We need fellowship. I mean, the scripture says you need this. And you go off by yourself and you start to think that, oh, you know, I can do this all by myself. Yeah, you can for a while. But you lose the heat. You know, it's just like a coal. You take it out of the fire, you put it off by itself. The rest of the fire is really nice and hot and feeding on itself. And the little coal, it's hot, but then it cools real quick. Little illustration, not in the Bible, but I just thought it would be a good picture. You know, you just have to, this is what Scripture says, hang out with one another. Now, do you want to make, I don't care what church, what bowling meeting you go to, I don't care what organization is that organization and are the people in that organization walking with the Lord? And is this where the Lord would have you to be? Most people want to go where they are comfortable. Where, oh, this is nice. I like them, you know. And the thing I hear the most is, oh, I like the music. You know, it's exciting. It's entertaining. I mean, it's all of those things. And then way down the list, it's about Scripture. For me, it's about Scripture. It's about you being challenged to pray and to prophesy and to participate and to give in a small group. You can't be anonymous here. You have to give in love. Now, you cannot, it's okay, but you all know what I'm talking about. You come and you give and you love and you participate and you share and you walk by the Spirit. I mean, that's your choice. You walk by the Spirit and see if you can bless and meet a need of your brother and sister. That's what I try to do on Sunday mornings. I don't always feel like doing this. But I choose to do it and do it with my heart. Do you see what I mean? Because you're the Lord. He's the master. I work for him. You work for him. You know, and if you got that mentality, I got a job. Lord, what would you have me to do? Then, whether it's with your wife or your children or the neighbor or the landlord or whatever it is, whoever you're going to touch that day, what would you have me to do? Sometimes it's just say hi, be kind, have a nice word to say. But you understand. The church is his. This church that he's talking about, this body of Christ, is not a man-made thing. Let me broaden this. There are millions of people who profess Jesus as Lord. Billions. They believe all kinds of different things. That's not my problem. What God tells us in Scripture is, are they doing what the Lord said? That's how you know whether they're really his or not. And I'm not talking about every doctrine. The thing that Jesus is most concerned about, if you read the Gospels and when it comes down to, the judgment, is did you feed I was hungry, did you feed me? I was naked, did you clothe me? I was in prison, did you visit me? That seems to me not what, or did you understand this in the Bible? Did you understand, did you get this right? I don't see any of that in the judgment when the Lord shows. It's, what did you do? Because if you did it to one of these least, you did it to me. Now, I want to understand the truth. I have fought my whole life to understand the truth of Scripture. I've changed what I've believed through the years. That just to me is a growing process all Christians have to choose to do. Some people chose not to grow anymore. Oh, I understand that. I'm done. You know, it's like people who graduate fourth grade. They're done. There are other people who are more curious and more desirous to know and really need, have a hunger to know, and they go and become a doctor. Well, it's an illustration. It's the same thing with God's people. There are people who are happy. Yeah, God is up there. But aren't sure of anything. My grandmother was one of those. You know, she really believed the Lord will provide. Didn't know blessed thing out of Scripture, just knew God was with her, knew that she prayed, didn't have much confidence, didn't really have a whole lot of solid rock in her faith, because when it came time, when she was in the hospital and she had the priest come and give her last rites, and she thought, well, this is good. And then the rabbi walked by and said, come on over here. You pray for me too. He says, well, you're not a Jew. She says, you got to cover the bases. I mean, is that where you want to be in life? I got to cover the bases? Is that how solid you want to be in your faith? Now, Grandma was a great lady. She raised me. I love her. But she was, and she wouldn't hear a blessed thing from me. But the point was, she didn't know for sure. I don't want to live that way. I want to know. I want to know my Lord. I want to know what he says. I want to do what he wants. I want to serve. I want to love like he loved. And in order to do that, you got to know how he did it. He's got to be Lord of all. So, a lot of billions of people who believe and confess him. Scripture tells you you know them by their fruit. And if their fruit is bad, then they're evil. They ain't his. And a verse I'm going to find for you here in a little while in 1 John. I know it's in there. But it's plain as the nose on your face. It's what you do tells you whether you really have him Lord. You know, you go through a day and you start stealing from somebody for some stupid reason, then you know what? He wasn't Lord that at that time, was he? Ask for forgiveness. Because he was not Lord. You threw him right out the door. You said, stop. I got to go do something. Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. Says, for through him, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we both have access, talking about Jew and Gentile. We got access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know what? You can't approach the Father. You ain't good enough to approach the Father on your own. The only reason I get the chance to approach the Father is because I've believed what Christ has done for me. I believe that he did the work. And therefore, he gave me that Spirit, and I have the right to approach the Father. And you see the same pattern in the Old Testament. God told, there's only one group of people here who are going to be priests unto me. They're the only ones that can serve. And out of those people, there's only the high priest that can come in the Holy of Holies. The rest of you people outside of the camp, you live 4 or 5 miles away. Don't come any closer. And it was to show us that on our own, we can't approach God. We needed a priesthood. We needed an intermediary. And God allowed them, even though they were people, he allowed them because, okay, you wash 7 times, you wear certain clothes I tell you to wear, you do it exactly the way I say to do it, and I'll let you serve me. And you don't do it exactly the way I tell you to do it, just like Aaron's sons, that first day, dedication day of the temple, they both toast. Fire came down from heaven and burnt those two little guys up. And then God said to Aaron, don't you dare mourn for these kids. That'll get your attention. But that's how serious it is. I don't come to the Father except through my Lord, what he accomplished. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the chief, the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone. He is the one that built this temple. This is a spiritual building. In him, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, grows to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You are this temple. He is the one who built it. You believed on him. He cleansed you. You have access to the Father. He, God in Christ, dwell within you, and you are part of this temple, his body. Two metaphors that are used that explain it. That's what a metaphor is about. It's not a doctrine. It's an explanation. He's the one that did this. He's the one that builds the temple. Nobody comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. Nobody gets to the Father unless they have the Son. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1. Excuse me. Chapter 1. Verse 26. It says, even the mystery which was hidden from ages, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. You're going to hear the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is that you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. This spirit that you were given, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, is to have him in you. Now, we can learn about the Spirit, a lot of things about the Spirit, but the point is, you got him in you. Is he Lord? Then you're doing what he says. And you walk by the Spirit. Everything it says in here, these words, their spirit and their life. And everything that he might ever tell you, he might. It's not guaranteed. Or inspire you to do. Then you walk by the Spirit, you're doing what the Lord says to do. All these words are definitely in that category of walking by the Spirit. And they'll give you the wisdom, the strength to do it. But you got to choose. Just like you got to choose to do God's will or not to do it. You know, because if he's Lord, then you're doing what he says. Revelation chapter 5, last book in the Bible, the easy one to find. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Every single individual on the face of the earth, whatever their race, whatever their nationality, whatever they speak, Jesus is the one who's got to be Lord. He's the only one that was worthy. The only one that was worthy. Because he was slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Remember, Zechariah said he would reign on the throne as a priest? Well, we are going to be his priests. And we are going to also be given, as it says in the Gospels, those that are faithful to him. He's going to give to those he gave 10 talents, and they were faithful to get 10 more. He's going to give 10 cities. That's what it says. Now, I would think that that's a figure of speech, except what it says in Zechariah and the Gospels and here. I think that might be literal. They're going to reign as kings over whatever he gives you to reign over. And that's based upon your faithfulness. That's just based upon your faithfulness. But we are going to reign with him. In verse 11 it says, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a voice, with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Blessing honor to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. You know what? That's just he, Jesus Christ, He did this for his Father. He became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. He is the one who earned the name which is above everyone. And everything the Father has decreed, everything in heaven and on earth and in the sea and under the earth and any other place, I think, on the universe. He is Lord. And you and I who've made him Lord and keep him Lord, we will reign with him in the kingdom to come. We will be given responsibilities according to our faithfulness. But we will reign with him for those 1,000 years. What a privilege. You and I can go to the Father now for everything that comes up in our life. We can keep Jesus Lord in every aspect of our life. He's given us access to the Father. So, that's what I wanted to share with you. I pray I'll find this verse that I was telling you about, and I'll do that immediately. But let me, because it bothers me when I can't find something I'm looking for. But it's a great morning, isn't it?